On November 4th, the California Department of Food and Agriculture will begin aerial spraying of pheromones across parts of Santa Cruz County and North Monterey County for 6 nights from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. each night. The spraying will be done at 500 to 700 feet in the air. It's the latest attempt to control the light brown apple moth, who the CDFA says is capable of causing millions of dollars in damage to California's crops. The plan is to disrupt the moth's mating cycle. State agricultural officials say the moth has been detected so far in 11 counties along the Central Coast and Northern California. Santa Cruz County is considered ground zero for the infestation, with more than 6,000 moths trapped here. The state plans to conduct more aerial spraying in the spring and for several years until the moth is eradicated. The total cost is estimated at $17 million. The synthetic pheromone to be sprayed over parts of Santa Cruz County is Checkmate Elbam F. The same pesticide was sprayed over Monterey County last month. In Monterey County, concerned citizens showed up to public hearings to protest the spraying, and a local environmental group, HOPE, Helping Our Peninsula's Environment, is suing the CDFA in an attempt to stop it. But the spraying went forward in September in Monterey and will continue today. There has been opposition in Santa Cruz as well, but it is unclear whether it can change the state's course of action. Steve Lyle, a spokesman with the State Department of Food and Agriculture in Sacramento, told the Santa Cruz Sentinel on September 26 that, quote, "The authority rests with the state. There is no vote." During the next few weeks, public hearings will be announced to inform residents and answer any questions about the six-day aerial spraying. We will announce those public hearings at the end of the show. Joining me by phone to discuss this issue is Stephen Schulbuckwald, Managing Director of the Pesticide Action Network. Hello, Steve.
Hi. I
want to start off by asking you about Pesticide Action Network's position on this issue. In a September 26 Sentinel article, PANA was listed as a group that had supported the spraying. What is your organization's position on the spraying, Steve?
Well, we did support the spraying in the first application in Monterey County in previous to that, but by the 26th, actually the Sentinel was just a day or two behind where we were. We issued a new statement, and at that point we withdrew our support for the aerial application. We still support the use of pheromones as the best alternative available for managing the moth, but aerial spraying has its problems, and we understand why the community is so upset about it. We're not necessarily opposed to aerial spraying ultimately, but at this point, we don't believe the California Department of Food and Agriculture has provided sufficient information, is really being fully transparent about what they know and don't know about aerial application or even the use of Checkmate, the particular product, over a populated area.
So you're saying the CDFA hasn't been transparent enough. What do you think would be the correct steps for them to take at this point?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. One of the things that we and other groups asked for during and immediately after the first aerial application in Monterey County was that they convene a body of experts and community representatives to review everything they know and discuss what their alternatives are. And they are in the process of putting together a body, something like that. We don't know what the final composition will be. But they weren't willing to stop the process. And it goes to the second issue, the first one being that community participation wasn't sought in a really proactive and thorough way. But they really haven't been transparent about what they know and they don't know. And I personally believe that when all the data comes out, what will be shown is that this is a pretty good alternative, but there are some risks. And instead, they've presented the program as one that is basically riskless, and that not only doesn't sound believable on the surface, but it's probably not accurate.
Well, I'm pretty sure that the CDFA position is that this is an emergency situation, and they can't really wait for too much public input on this before they act, or else this could seriously affect agriculture in California. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, we all know, I should say, we've unfortunately learned not to trust authorities when they claim emergency to justify a wide range of responses. In this particular case, it appears that the infestation is serious. Whether it's an emergency or not, I think, is an open question. Remember that the moth wasn't first discovered in the Central Coast area. It was discovered up in Berkeley, and then they looked for trapping, did some trapping there and didn't find very many, weren't very concerned. And then as they expanded the trapping, they found out that there was a fairly extensive infestation, but I don't believe anybody knows at this point when the infestation really started. Probably moths were coming to the Central Coast, other areas of California, for decades. After all, it's been around for and an issue in Australia for at least a century. And it simply didn't take hold, or didn't take hold in a way that was detected. So it begs the question about what's the level of the emergency. Again, I'm not saying it's not a serious problem, but the reaction of labeling it emergency and then attacking it as though a sensible strategy is to eradicate every last moth doesn't make scientific sense, and it sounds like people are overreacting. Whether they are or not, I don't really know, but it goes back to this issue of transparency. We were not provided full information, and I think, frankly, that there is a level of overreaction here.
What are the alternatives to aerial spraying of this pheromone? The CDFA says that hand-tying the pheromones is not effective because it's too intensive and wouldn't be efficient. What do you? What does Pesticide Action Network suggest as alternatives to this aerial spraying?
In general, our view of aerial application of any kind of product is that it's, of course, the most invasive thing you can do. It also means that whatever you're applying is going to drift off-site the furthest of any kind of application method. And so it is really a last resort application method. The same kind of thing has been done in the last few years in New Zealand to control a different pest, and there they weren't using pheromones. They were using a BT combination, a botanical pesticide. But where they got into difficulty is that they were basically air bombing this stuff over the suburbs of Auckland at night with very little warning, and they got a huge public outcry because of the approach and how they handled it. So I think in this particular case, it sounds on the surface that what CDFA is saying, that using twist ties or doing ground spraying of the same pesticide would be very expensive and very slow. But we don't know the state of the emergency. Recall that their first reaction when they started discovering, when they discovered a moth up in San Francisco nursery and then came down to Santa Cruz to the nursery where it originated, their first reaction was to douse the place with chlorpyrifos, which is a highly toxic, very dangerous neurotoxin.
Is that Dursban?
Dursban is the label under which it was known when it was a household chemical. That's banned. They still use the Dursban label, apparently, in some cases, or Lorsban. It's the same thing. It's a Dow chemical version of chlorpyrifos. And nursery owners, of course, in the Santa Cruz area have complained about that because they don't want their place doused with neurotoxins. So my point here is that the first reaction has tended to be overkill. And so our concern is that in this particular case, even though they're using a relatively safe, in fact, apparently quite safe product, Checkmate, the way they're applying it and the sense of emergency and the sense that they have to eradicate everything is not only scientifically unsound, but from a standpoint of allaying the fears of the community, it just doesn't make any sense.
So the alternatives that you're suggesting are hand-tying of the same chemical, the same pesticide, hand-tying... Can you explain hand tying?
Yeah, there are at least a couple of methods, and I should have prefaced the whole thing by saying I'm not a pest management expert. I happen to have worked at PAN for quite a few years, and so I know something about it. But according to our experts on staff, the two primary alternatives with Checkmate are to use twist ties. They apply the twist ties around branches of plants, trees, other plants, shrubs, in an area, and they emit the same hormone. There are several formulations, but basically the same combination of two pheromones that disrupt the mating cycle. They can also apply Checkmate, the same kind of product in a similar formulation to that they're putting out of airplanes, by hand spraying, going back around with backpacks or in vehicles and putting it down on the ground level on a spot basis. My understanding of why they're not doing it is really twofold. One, sure, it would be very, very expensive. Actually, three, it would be very expensive and time-consuming to have people going out putting twist ties over a 60-square-mile area, for example. The second one is that they claim that that there needs to be a ramp-up of production of the twist ties. They simply don't have enough available. Why that's true and they can produce enough Checkmate to do this aerial spraying, I'm not sure. Again, there's a lack of transparency on that. But the third thing is that the aerial spraying apparently is designed to wall in the moth. That's why they started in Monterey. They were going to kind of block off an area so it couldn't spread, try to isolate it into a smaller and smaller area. In other words, they didn't attack the center of the infestation in Santa Cruz first. They went from the fringes. And so they're trying to do this kind of, under an eradication schedule, they're trying to surround it and then knock it out. But you don't knock moths out with pheromones. You don't do it very quickly. They're now talking about not only this season, but starting up again in early 2008, and they're now talking about multi-year. And for the first time, this may have been true earlier, but just yesterday in looking at the documents, it looks to me like they're beginning to admit that, in fact, eradication isn't a scheme that's going to be effective. And they, 2 weeks ago, they weren't saying that. So I think there's an evolution of their understanding of what the alternatives are and whether or not this method's going to be fully effective. And unfortunately, they handled that uncertainty by stonewalling criticism and claiming they put all the information out when they hadn't.
They is the California Department of Food and Agriculture,
right,
which you're referring
right.
to?
Yeah. So I said one other thing. It's not that they're necessarily just the prime actor. They're the deliverer of the bad news and the technology, but they're under pressure from the agricultural industry. They're under pressure from USDA. At one point, people tried to hand this off to Homeland Security, which makes absolutely no sense in terms of talking to go someplace where there's no expertise. But they're under a tremendous amount of pressure to respond and to respond quickly and decisively, even if in the real world there is no decisive, effective way to wipe out any kind of pest.
What is Checkmate LBAM-F, the pheromone itself? What is in it? One of the concerns here in Santa Cruz has been that the inerts are not being released by the company because they're claiming proprietary rights.
Right, right.
What are those inerts? Do you have that information?
No, up until yesterday, I thought we did. And I thought we had the information because CDFA was saying in their oral presentations and in written materials they have up on their website that the inert ingredients were simply water and urea, and those ingredients were used to make up a kind of microcapsule in which the pheromones are held to provide a kind of time release effect when they're distributed. However, there are at least two products being discussed, and as of today, I understood from Santa Cruz, actually, that LBAM-F was the formulation of Checkmate. There's also another formulation which is similar but has a slightly different name, OLRF. That's the one that they identified those inerts in. And I understood from the Sentinel, actually, that there are some chemical inerts that are involved. The problem is that normally you can't find out what the inerts are. They're considered proprietary information. I mean, that's bad law. It's not in the public interest to have that information sealed, but it's the case. However, the manufacturer and CDFA could voluntarily provide that information and put the public, I think, at the end of the day, the public's mind would probably be put at ease. But what's circulating now is information that there's more than water and urea in one of the formulations, apparently in LBAM-F, but I don't actually know that.
So basically, we don't know for sure all the ingredients in this. We only know of the pheromone, not of the other inerts, which often can be more toxic than the active ingredients.
Well, that's true with many, many pesticides. You don't know, and the inert ingredients could be just as dangerous or more dangerous depending on the conditions of use. In this case, as I said, their early reassurances was that there was not a problem with the inerts. They know that's an issue, CDFA does, and they put this information out. And they could still be telling the truth about that. I don't know. But it's the problem of the secrecy of ingredients that's at issue here. It may or may not be a problem of what's actually in the pesticide.
So that you're saying basically the CDFA is telling us it's safe, but they won't tell us what's in it.
Yeah, that's what's happened. Again, today, tomorrow, they could make this clear. And what we've been asking them to do repeatedly is to be more transparent. It's a very hard thing for an agency to admit that it doesn't know, and that's really what the issue is here. They don't know whether the method's going to be effective. It hasn't been tried exactly this way in terms of application over populated areas before, so they don't actually know whether or not they're... My guess is that this stuff is really quite safe, But that doesn't mean that some people that are hypersensitive to particular compounds might not become ill. There's a lot of unknowns, and the safe way to go, the appropriate way to go, would be to admit what you don't know and share with the public the level of risk that they're being put at. Again, I think it's probably the best alternative at this point, and if the emergency is a true emergency, and I have to say if, because again, we don't have, I don't think anybody really fully knows, they're afraid of the situation, but if it's a true emergency, if you need to do something that is forceful and dramatic, then probably what they're doing is the best way to go, but with lack of information, we as an organization can't support it because we don't have all the information.
If Checkmate LMAMF is safe, as the California Department of Food and Ag is claiming, again, this is the pheromone they intend to spray starting in early November across Santa Cruz County, if it's safe, as they say, why is the state recommending that people stay inside while it's being sprayed? And why, I'm wondering also why the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary was so concerned about it being sprayed that they reached an agreement ultimately with CDFA to have it not sprayed within 100 and 300 meters of water of the bay, I should say.
Well, the charitable response would be that they're applying the precautionary principle. And so they're saying, we don't think there's a problem, but just in case, stay inside. They've actually done the same thing with the Marine Sanctuary. We looked at some of the science on that, and it looked that indeed it was very unlikely to be any kind of a problem to sensitive marine life, and yet still you exercise precaution and give some distance. That's just a sensible approach, and so I wouldn't fault them for saying it's safe and it'd be better to stay inside, the extra measure of safety. But since we don't have all the information, it's so hard to believe what's coming out that you've got not just a public relations problem, you may have a problem of using a methodology that isn't entirely the best way to go and might be overreaction.
What does the EPA say about it? Because I understand that on their website there's some warnings about what it may have, some skin irritation, possibly some respiratory reaction. Do you know what the EPA says about it?
The only thing I've seen on the EPA site is actually from ToxNet, where I looked up the inerts that were reported in the Sentinel to see what might be involved there, and there was an issue of some mild irritation to mucous membranes and so on. Not something that would be a great cause of alarm, but again, it depends on individual sensitivity. If you went to our own database site, pesticideinfo.org, and looked up any one of these Checkmate products like LBAMF or OLRF, you'll find that there is mentioned in the official registration documents that one of the pheromones has a slight toxicity, possible eye irritant. Again, it's a very mild thing that's reported. Probably wouldn't be something experienced by most people or pets or other animals. But anytime you're putting a so-called foreign object out there, even if it's as relatively innocuous as a pheromone, you have a possibility for some irritation. So it doesn't surprise me that there might be some slight toxicity there.
You mentioned that this has not been sprayed on an urban population before now, yet the CDFA has said that this has been used safely in Australia for 10 years. Is that true?
I think both things might be true simultaneously. They're not saying exactly where it was used. My understanding is that in Australia it's being used over essentially rural areas. But when we asked for that information, there wasn't sufficient detail to really know. And our sense was that the CDFA officials, who were feeling embattled, to be sure, were trying to put out the most reassuring information they had. And again, they weren't saying, this is the part we don't really know about yet. And I think that's the danger. So my impression at the moment is that it has not been used over dense urban populations the way it's being used here. But it has been used extensively in Australia over rural areas. And I think we just don't have the full story. It all goes back to this issue about how much of an emergency is this. One of the suspicions we've had is that while they're responding heavily as though they doing this will stop the moth in its tracks, in fact, they don't really know if they're even in the proper life cycle of the moths to have pheromones work. And it may still be the best thing to be done, but it's a lack of full information.
We just have a couple minutes left here, and I want to give you an opportunity to just make a few final comments and also give out your website. And when you're speaking here in the last few moments to the issue, if you could also speak to the comment you made earlier about this isn't really possible to eradicate the moth.
Okay. Let me start with that one. Eliminating some creature in nature is very, very difficult to do when they reproduce as rapidly as moths do. Most moths, other insects, and so on, is a fool's goal. The intent of modern integrated pest management programs is to try to manage the population, to keep it under control so that it's doing minimal to zero damage while not trying to eliminate every single individual. We can tolerate a lot of pests, including this moth, if they're in small numbers, the populations aren't blooming, they're not destroying crops. And that would be the sensible goal. It's particularly true when you're talking about an invasive species like this. They're going to continue to come in. You can't keep every individual out. Most of them won't establish a population, but you need to be vigilant and practice good husbandry. So it's that kind of integrated management approach that we propose, and I think ultimately that's what the state will be forced to do. They simply don't want to admit that this is a complex problem and we're probably going to be living with this pest for decades, just as they have in other countries.
Can you just give us your website at Pesticide
Action
Network? Sure.
We're at panna.org, PANN.org. From there, you can also find our database site where you can look up any pesticide by name or chemical ingredient. So you can find Checkmate and all the available official studies that are available to it about that.
And that's PANN?
PANNA, PANA, Pesticide Action Network North America, .org.
PANA.org. Thanks so much for joining me today, Steve Buchwald, Managing Director of the Pesticide Action Network. Thank you.
My pleasure.